Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into some really fascinating sources, looking at this blend of ancient prophecy and very modern geopolitics concerning Israel.
That's right. We're exploring predictions about future conflicts, current tensions, and these deep, deep ideological divides in the Middle East.
And our mission for you today is simple. Cut through the noise. We want to pull out the key insights from these sources, really unpack the forces at play. So let's get into it.
Okay, so what's striking first off is, well, how far back some of these ideas stretch. If you look at certain futurist interpretations of the Old Testament.
You mean like specific prophets?
Exactly. People like Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. From that perspective, they consistently seem to point to a future time of intense foreign control, even a siege for Israel.
The siege.
Yes. And leading up to what's described as a last great attack of the nations of the world against Israel, Jerusalem is specifically the target.
Wow.
The texts talk about a time of severe threat, potential annihilation, even mentioning an Antichrist's invasion and occupation.
Okay, that's intense. But there's a resolution mentioned.
According to these interpretations, yes. It culminates in the Messiah's intervention to liberate occupied Jerusalem.
That's quite the vivid picture from ancient foresight. So how much does that ancient root, you know, feed into today's conflicts? Is it ideology or is it modern politics? Do they echo?
Well, the sources we looked at suggest resolving the really fundamental ideological differences, particularly between Judaism and Islam over Israel's legitimacy, is seen as highly unlikely. Just not really on the cards.
Why is that?
It boils down to deeply rooted religious identities, and especially these intractable disputes over sacred spaces, Jerusalem obviously being key.
Right.
Believers often feel they just don't have the authority to give up rights to these places. And you also have radical groups who politicize religion, making compromise at that top political level incredibly hard.
So dialogue doesn't fix it.
Interreligious dialogue is seen as good for, you know, grassroots peace building, building understanding, but not really direct peacemaking that shifts major political realities.
Okay, so if that ideological resolution is unlikely, the focus naturally shifts to military possibilities.
And your sources seem to point heavily towards Iran here.
They do. Iran is consistently flagged as being best situated to confront Israel militarily.
And why Iran specifically?
It's not just about their military kit, though that's part of it. It's deeply driven by their foundational anti-Zionist ideology. Mm-hmm. You know, the calls for Israel to be wiped off the map, that's core to them.
And capability-wise.
They have the largest missile arsenal in the Middle East, significant drone capabilities, plus they've enriched uranium up to 60%, which is pretty close to weapons grade.
Okay.
And then there's their axis of resistance.
Their network of proxy groups.
Exactly. Across the region, it gives them reach.
Okay, that's a serious setup. What happens then if the U.S. pulls back? Maybe an America First approach, or say they get tangled up in a war over Taiwan? Yeah, that's a key question. A major U.S. shift like that, it would definitely severely strain U.S. military resources going to Israel. We're talking billions in aid, F-35s, Iron Dome parts, those bunker buster bombs.
So the impact would be?
It would almost certainly embolden adversaries, Iran included. The sources suggest the likelihood of increased confrontation goes up significantly.
What kind of confrontation? Are we talking invasion?
That's a crucial distinction that the sources make. A full-on conventional military occupation of Israel by anyone. Still seen as extremely low probability.
Why low?
Because of Israel's own unparalleled military prowess, frankly. And also the Samson option, that implicit threat of massive, possibly nuclear retaliation if its existence is threatened.
The nuclear deterrent.
Right. So the threats are perceived more in terms of missile barrages, drone attacks, proxy warfare, not necessarily boots on the ground trying to occupy Tel Aviv.
Got it. That clarifies the threat landscape. Yeah. So given that, what about Israel's own alliances in the region? Who do they team up with?
Well, it's seen as highly plausible, even likely, that Israel would align or deepen its alignment with Sunni Arab states. Think Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, maybe Egypt and Jordan, too.
The Abraham Accords partners and others.
Exactly. There's already functionally an Arab-Israeli alliance based on countering Iran. It's pragmatic. It's about shared security interests, the common threat Iran poses. It's not about suddenly resolving those deep ideological issues we talked about.
So strategy over ideology.
Pretty much. Like, in a hypothetical war between Turkey and Iran, the sources suggest Israel would almost certainly side with the anti-Iran group, its strategic necessity.
So wrapping this up, We've seen how these centuries-old prophecies, for some, paint this stark picture of future struggle for Israel. At the same time, today's reality is shaped by these really deep ideological divides and these constantly shifting strategic alliances.
Yeah, it's a complex mix of religious conviction, raw military power, and national interests all swirling together.
So the question for you listening is, reflecting on this blend of ancient views and modern power plays, what does it tell you about how enduring core beliefs can be in shaping conflict, even today? And maybe, how might similar dynamics, where deeply held convictions crash against changing power structures, play out in other parts of the world? Something to think about.